I want to thank all of our directors for all of their reports. It's very helpful for all of us just to tune in to the hard work that you do each and every day, and it's greatly appreciated. Thanks for all that you do. Attending the Ohio School Boards Association convention just recently, just a few things I wanted to share with my fellow board members. I just have a brief of some of the breakout sessions that I attended. I just wanted to share these with you. I do have details on these, and I'm going to allow you to reach out to me if you choose, if you want some further details on the breakout sessions that I attended. As far as our five-year strategic plan, I am on climate and culture for our five-year strategic plan, and had an opportunity to attend a presentation by the Olentangy local district on diversity. And it was interesting to hear from students as well as staff as they talked about diversity. And some of the things that stood out to me included having mentors, say an older high school student mentoring a younger, maybe junior high or middle school student, or maybe a younger high school student when it comes to diversity. It was impactful, and it was mentioned that it was impactful to those students that were involved. Just how do you work through some of the issues when it comes to diversity, and having that mentor to reach out to was quite helpful. Something else that was mentioned in this breakout session was reaching out to those populations that feel that they are a minority, say, in the district, and want the opportunity to share their story with the district, and not necessarily having, I'll use the words, critical mass in order to make it impactful for them and make it impactful for the district. So that these groups of families would get together on a regular basis, say once a month, and they would actually present ideas to the superintendent. And those ideas presented caused a change many times in policy within the district. And say out of 24 recommendations for change, the superintendent approved, I believe, as many as 19. But I thought that was interesting. And Dr. Winter and I are meeting with a family this week, and that'll be a part of our conversation. Board meetings, the good, the bad, and the ugly, was actually quite humorous, and it was meant to be so, just reminding us of rules and regulations regarding all of us and how we interact with each other. Bargaining trends, and I'll leave the details of that maybe to another meeting. Strategically shifting culture and climate. You know that working on culture and climate, along with Mrs. Morgan, that we have forwarded a number of surveys to staff, and Superintendent Goggin has followed up with those surveys and working with staff via building by building. We are sending out such a survey again this semester and reaching out to staff again. And this particular breakout session mentioned a number of years where such surveys were delivered to staff as well as families. And it was interesting for them to measure, have a starting point, and having a place to shoot towards, and also determining if they're making progress or not. Quite helpful. Starting a parent university within the district. Starting a parent university, you think about all the things that we do, and many times we find that there are families that are unaware of all the many things that we do. How do we communicate that? I know that we're working with impact as far as reaching out and passing information along, but how might some of our administrative staff and teaching staff reach out to parents and families and tell them a little bit more about our district? I have large spreadsheet. It was a day-long event. They did it, this particular district, it was Dublin. They did it just once. They didn't know what the impact was going to be, but they had quite a few families participate in this. It was, I'd say, 5 hours long, including a lunch hour using the school cafeteria. And it was very well received by the families in the district. And then finally, setting up a district foundation, I had the great opportunity to reach out to our treasurer to discuss our foundation, but just setting up foundation. I know we have a number of foundations, if you will, or 501c3s established here within the school, and I look forward to bending your ear a little bit on that, if I may.
Certainly.
So those were some of the things, some of the breakout sessions I attended. If you want some more information on that, feel free to reach out.
Thank you. I'm going to just kind of take that and run with it a little bit. And I made some comments very similar to yours. Just starting out with our director reports, we really do, as a board, appreciate those director reports. It really gives us some specifics that we might not otherwise have. So I thank you to Mr. Goggin for making that happen, and to all our directors for making that happen as well. Kim, again, quality profile was incredible. Thank you. The calendar, too, was great. I had no idea the issues that you were working through with making our calendar work for our families, our students, our staff members, and I really like the product that you were able to come up with. So kudos to you on that. Kathy, I know you shared with us the curriculum maps that you've been working on, and I know you've been working on the gifted handbook, so thank you for that. The curriculum maps, having that as a curriculum person, having that specific really helped me to see what's going on. I already know, just from my own personal experience, that our math department is so strong at the high school, but to see the specifics about what we're doing to take it the next level is really helpful. So thank you for that. Stephanie, the student retention records. I had no idea, you know, first of all, how the change in staffing would affect, and glad to know you've found, an outside vendor to really help us bring us to the 21st century, so to speak, with the student records and be able to, you know, really have access to the records that we need, especially as our students graduate. So real helpful on that. Brady, thank you for your work with Todd on the new benefits, the new administration with AFLAC, and the other things that you've had going on with negotiations. And Dave, really interested. He had to step out, but I was really interested in the new bus routing system. The fact that we're thinking ahead 2 years also with our training now. So real important that we do that. And then Pete, thanks for defining the nature of the cyber threats we're facing, because even as board members, we don't get nearly the volume of emails that you all get running the district and working in the district. But I was noticing a lot of phishing emails in my school email account, and I'm glad, you know, you were right on that. And even though it created some challenges for our staff members with the attachments and the Word docs, to have that explanation for us as we move forward is helpful. And it does give us a good reason for using our Google Classroom, and thank you for implementing that as well. And then I didn't write up anything as far as OSBA, but I found this year's, I always enjoy OSBA. This year in particular, I took extra time in the trade show to really have conversations with folks at different booths. So this is just a real quick synopsis. One of the things that I went up to was Real Choice Ohio. And I brought back some information as well that I'll share with Superintendent Goggin and Treasurer Hopkins, and I have for other board members as well. But Real Choice Ohio is an organization that runs under the umbrella of Innovation Ohio, and they're really pulling together a lot of data on public schools in general, but including our public choice schools. So schools that receive vouchers, and then in particular charter schools, to just look at, are we comparing apples to apples? because most of us in this room know that the charters don't even have the same report card that we do, so that we can look at how much money, $500 million, we have spent as a state giving to charter schools that are no better and many times worse than their local school district that the students had come from. So to me, doesn't seem like an efficient use of money, and I didn't know that number before I visited there. I had a real long conversation with the Ohio NAEP testing coordinator. Now, NAEP is the National Assessment of Educational Progress. It's been going on since the early 90s. It's not a high-stakes test, it's a very low-stakes test. And the reason it's low-stakes, it's done by cohorts. It's not every single student in the whole nation, but it's a snapshot of how we're doing, and it's a highly valued snapshot. Sometimes words escape me. But Christine Kempf and I discussed, and one of the things that she was really interested in sharing was that Ohio's progress has been flat from 2009 to 2015, which is the data that she was reporting on. And I was asking her, why do you think it was flat? Because boy, our legislature's been doing an awful lot of legislating to try to get us improve our, okay, little sarcasm in my voice, but to improve our outcomes with our students. And it looks to me, because I've been studying this for a long time, that a lot of those mandates that we're getting really aren't doing what they're meant to be doing. They've allowed us to spend a lot of time, a lot of person power and energy on some things that aren't giving us much of a bang for our buck. So that was interesting, and I've got the information on here I can share. But virtually no significant gains. The other piece of that was when the tests were given, which was in 2015, that was also the same year we were giving the park. And I know in my building, we had our fourth graders were part of the NAEP test, and sometimes our Westlake kids have been. It's not every year that any one school district has kids participating. But it was the week after Park. So kids were tested with Park. They were also tested with NAEP. So that could have impacted the outcomes as well. So I thought that was interesting. Kathy Maxwell and I had a great conversation with the ODE report card supervisor. And I know they've opened up conversations. I'm not an expert in the report card, but Kathy sure was. And so I, you know, found her after I initially talked to him, and I said, oh, I need to get my curriculum person who really can speak your language better than I could. And, you know, I just kind of tagged along as they had a great conversation and opened the door to have more conversations to help us in Westlake improve our outcomes, because sometimes our kids are doing great. It's just how they're being reported sometimes is very tricky, and having those connections at the state level is very helpful. The retreat that we had on team processing was a great activity. I look forward to building upon that with my fellow team members and our leadership team in particular. We worked pretty well together. That's what that activity
did
showed us.
Did better as a group.
Did better as a group, yeah, than we did individually. So that's what teachers will always tell you about collaboration, but sometimes it's hard to overcome what we're looking at. And I know a couple of the sessions I attended were similar to, I did go to the negotiation session that Mr. Kraft spoke about, and they did talk about a kind of a new way that's even more, builds more camaraderie than interest-based bargaining, called SUN, which is straight up negotiations, which was very interesting to us. So something to look at. And I know the federal mediator we had worked with was doing that session. And he, first of all, when we worked with him, he really helped us bring it together as a district. But to know that he's worked with our staff and our administration to do training, I just know that we're in really good hands going forward with negotiations for both of our groups. And the last thing I'll bring up was the legislative update. I did attend a legislative update in October, but then some of those bills were still being talked about. And right now, the bill to watch is House Bill 200, which expands vouchers enormously and in a very dangerous way for us as a school district. It's something that the legislature tried to pass through a number of years ago, and it really looks very similar. A couple tricky things with that, it's right now it's in committee. Tomorrow they're having hearings and they're going to be voting, and we'll see if it gets out of committee or not. So if you're so inclined, please, please, please reach out to Andrew Brenner, who is the head of the Education Committee, Tom Dolan, Senator Dolan, Matt Dolan.
Yeah.
Matt Dolan, who is our senator, and Dave Greenspan, to let them know about this. But what it does is it expands the amount of money a family can make before they reach, before they're able to get a voucher. So instead of at poverty level now, it's 400% poverty level, which is $98,000 per year, and a family would be allowed to have a voucher. It doesn't matter whether the progress your district is making on the Ohio report card, so you can have an excellent district and still get a voucher, which flies in the face of the reason we're supposed to have vouchers, which is for failing school districts. And it also allows, which is pretty dangerous, it allows parents to bank any of the excess that they might have left over from attending the charter or the private school they would use the voucher for. It would be $5,000 for elementary students, $7,500 for high school students. They say that the money's coming directly from the state, because that's one of the criticisms that local districts have been talking about, is that these are local dollars and we only get $590 from the state, but yet we have to give out $5,700 from our local coffers to fund students moving to private schools. And so they say that it's coming straight from the state, but that we're still going to lose that money. We still lose the money and will not be seeing that money. So that'll be factored into the foundation. So that's something that we need to really be aware of. And we may, as a board, want to, if it gets out of committee, just have a resolution that we passed stating our beliefs about that. And that's something we could talk about in the future in a work session. The other bill that I know Mr. Goggin brought up was the Senate Bill 200. Was that the one making licensure easier?
Senate Bill 216.
216, that's what it was. Yes, and that was something that it sounds to me from your conversation that our state lawmakers, in particular our representatives, really have been hearing us about. We've got to change this one-size-fit-all approach to our state school mandates. And so now they're looking at things like licensure to make it not easier, but more efficient for our teachers and more affordable for our teachers, and better for our district leaders to be able to staff their buildings. So it's heartening to see some of that going on as well.
It's more than that. Senate Bill 216 encompasses anything from College Credit Plus to House Bill 410, which is the attendance policies. It really has a lot of items in there, and from multiple senators I've heard the theme of, you know, giving some local control back. And the vision was, you know, you have a school district, you know, in Columbus do something, and then you penalize or put rules for every single school district. And what's happening is you can have an issue with Columbus City Schools, and then they pass a law, and then as it translates into Westlake, it doesn't make sense. You know, the people of Westlake look at it and say, why are we doing this? Well, because these people in Columbus, or, you know, in a larger school district or a different school district than ours, they are looking to try and take away some of those things, which is a very positive step. You know, we do believe in local control, so any step they take to encourage local control, we are for. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you. That's all I have.
Well, thank you. And maybe next month, John, you and I can give our perspective of our school. I didn't prepare my report today, but I went to some very good sessions. Okay. Okay, so that brings us up to report items, which is the policies.
Same as you had before. Like I said, the only change on there is adding the 7, and it's the very last one. If you were to look at that, I can't remember what's the number of that. 9141 would be the one that would have the write-in of the 7, but other than that, all are exactly the same as what was proposed before.
Okay. So you want a motion for that now?
Yes, please.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve item 8A?
There's no, it'd be 8B. A is simply the second reading. B is the approval.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Okay, item 8B.
So moved.
Second.
Any further questions or discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Kraft?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Fanukin?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Is there a motion for adjournment?
One quick item. Dr. Stoll had brought up about setting that meeting instead of having the conversation in December. I believe Dr. Stoll said he's unable to be here in December's meeting. So did you, he had looked up real quick. It looks like if we kept the organizational meeting for January on a Monday, it might be the 8th would work best. Is that a possibility for everybody?
Mondays in January, either the 1st, the 8th, or the 15th. And
yeah.
The 1st is obviously not good, and the 15th is too late.
I say the 1st at 6 a.m.
Exactly.
The 8th is
fine. So if the 8th works for
me.
Does it work for everybody?
Yep.
Will the 8th work? Do like 6 p.m.?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And just here?
So 6 p.m. on the 8th, and we'll do it here?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
To adjourn at 7:38 p.m. Kraft?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Fanukin?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.